Church, we've left Lazarus in the grave long enough. We preached the pre-part to this 4 weeks ago and left Lazarus in the grave. He was only in the grave 4 days. We left him there 4 weeks. Verse 17, let me read some of this. We could shout on these first four words, then when Jesus came. He found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard, here it is, that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Verse 21, then saith Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. You can insert for yourself, my mother, my brother, my friend, amen, shall rise again. How many believes that? Verse 24, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Oh no, Jesus said, that's not what I'm talking about. He said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, not he that has religion. I got to get this read. I got to preach it, but not he that has religion, not he that has been baptized and went through some religious rigmarole, but he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Here it is, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, read this with me, the next four words. The Master is come. Let's read those again. The Master is come and calleth for thee. If you had read this whole chapter, there was a lot of coming. The messenger came from Lazarus' house to Jesus. The Jews come from Jerusalem. Mary and Martha come to Jesus. Everybody comes to the grave. Lazarus comes out of the grave. But the most important coming is this. This text says that Jesus comes to the world. He came to the town. And he came to the tomb. It's all a matter of Jesus coming. Everything rests on that. Jesus is coming. Could I preach with Martha's words as a title and a theme this morning? Martha said, the Master is come. Hallelujah. You can be seated. The Master is come. I've been at the hospital in ER many times with many families. And my question is, and everybody else that wasn't first on the scene, when they go back to the room, the question is, has the doctor come in yet? Has the doctor come yet? I mean, there's lots of other important folks doing important things. There's nurses coming. There's aides coming. There's lab techs coming. A lot of other people coming, doing a good and important job. But none of that matters if the doctor's not coming. Many times it's simply stated, well, the doctor's not come yet. Is the doctor coming? You see, Lazarus had grown sick. And then he died. Family had come. Friends had come. Jews had come from Jerusalem. Amen. But the one that Mary and Martha were waiting for, the one they were wanting to come, was the Master. It was Jesus. Amen. They had sent for him. He had not come. And things had gone from bad to worse. And in their minds had reached the stage of being irreversible and irrevocable. He, Jesus, had not come, and Lazarus has died. Back in the hospital, what would it be for that family, that patient, to come to the conclusion that the doctor simply wasn't coming? The doctor was never coming. That's a conclusion that Mary and Martha came to. Lazarus is dead, and Jesus simply isn't coming. He's not going to come. But I want you to know, when it seemed far too late, when it seemed it would not do any good, amen, a messenger came into the house and spoke to Martha and said, the master is coming. The master is coming. Oh, it's too late now. No, wait a minute. The master is coming. Lazarus is already in the grave. But wait a minute. The master is coming. He's coming down the road. I want you to know this morning, everything changes with the news that the master is coming. I don't care your situation and circumstance. I don't care how far past hope it seems. Everything changes with the message. The master is coming. Hallelujah. I don't know what your need is this morning. I'm preaching far past Lazarus. And things may have gone from bad to worse. And things may look overly hopeless to you this morning. And you may be believing that Jesus will never show up. But I want to use Martha's words to Mary and tell you, the master is coming and he's calling for you. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I think the question Mary and Martha might have is, why now? He didn't come earlier. He didn't come before Lazarus died. So why is he coming now? And I'm going to do something this morning. I want to answer Mary and Martha and preach to them, acting like they're sitting back there with you guys. I want to ask why, and answer the question, why now? And I want to preach to all of us. But just imagine they're sitting in one of these pews here saying, why did he come now? Lazarus is dead. Why? First of all, listen to Mary and Martha. The master is coming because he loves you. You've been doubting it. You've been questioning it, but he's on his way because he loves you. In verse 5, John makes very clear, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Amen. They could not understand until it was all over with why Jesus had not come when they first called and Lazarus was only sick. But when it's all over with, they're going to understand that Jesus had waited and didn't come because he loved them. But also, after waiting, he does come because he loves them. Listen to me. There's times it doesn't seem like Jesus is coming to your situation. But he loves you then when it seems he's not coming, as much as he loves you when you get the report, the master is come. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, Mary and Martha. The master is coming because he loves you. Could I tell you this morning, in your dire predicament, whether it's a situation in life, a situation of mind, a sickness, a financial difficulty, a spiritual fear, I've got news for you this morning. The master is coming. He will not be held back. He's coming because he loves you. Oh, aren't you glad he's motivated by love? Secondly, this morning, Mary, Martha, the master is coming to show you who he is. Amen. Verse 17, Jesus came, found Lazarus and lay in the grave 4 days. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. I noted it last time, but I want to again note that Jesus was careful to wait until 4 days had passed. Because in Jewish belief, for 3 days, the spirit of the deceased hanged around the body in case there is hope of returning to the body. But after 3 days, the effects of decomposition and corruption have set in on that body. Martha says, he stinks, Lord. The scripture's making that point. Lazarus had already began to rot. Jesus waited for those 4 days because the belief was the spirit then would leave and depart from the body, and all hope of resuscitation is gone. You see, when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, he wants there to be no mistake. Lazarus was really dead, and he didn't just resuscitate because of the coolness of the tomb. He was rotting. He was decomposing. I'm sorry for the awful picture, but that's why Jesus waited. Why? Just so he could wow the crowd? Amen. No, sir. He waited till Lazarus was dead because he's going to show them who he, Jesus, is. Amen. There's death. I said, there's death. But Jesus is going to show up and say, that might be death, but I'm resurrection. Oh, hallelujah. Mary and Martha, he's coming to show you who he is. It says that Bethany's 9 to Jerusalem, 15 furlongs. That's all, just under 2 miles. That explains a lot of things. But one thing that it shows is that Jesus, the man, as man, knowing the Jews are going to kill him, he comes that close to Jerusalem, their center of activity. He fearlessly comes because he loves Mary and Martha, and he's going to show them a lesson that they and humanity will never forget. He's going to show them who he is. It also explains that Mary and Martha must have been of great prominence because visitors, important people would come to Jerusalem to mourn with them. Verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Somebody spotted Jesus and the disciples coming down the road. Look, I've got to move forward, but I've got to preach to you too. Too many people have given up on Jesus, given up on serving God, and the whole time Jesus was coming down the road. Instead of giving up, won't you take another look down the road? Amen. Somebody left the grief. Somebody left the gloom of the house and went looking down the road and came running back and said, Martha, he's coming. He's coming. The master is coming down the road. Amen. Amen. Martha, eager to get to Jesus, did not wait till he made it to the house. She ran to meet him. But Mary just sat there. Understandably, why is Mary just sitting there? Because she's depressed. She's grieving. She's discouraged. She's consternated. Why didn't Jesus come? She's upset, could we say, even with Jesus. It hadn't worked the way she thought Jesus would work. And so she just sat there. Listen to me, church. I'm not trying to be mean. Amen. But when I see Mary's in the church, God's trying to move. Folks are worshiping. Songs of God's greatness are being sung. And they just sit there. I know they're upset. Listen. Well, I have something to say this morning. If you're upset just sitting there, you won't worship, you won't pray, you won't seek God, you won't be friendly. I've got good news for you. Just forget all of that. Amen. He hasn't ever done you anything but good. He's never done you wrong. You may not understand. You may be consternated, but at least take heart at this. The Master is coming. He may not have come when you wanted him to, but he's on his way to your situation. Verse 21, then saith Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You may take exception with me, but most people take it that Martha was condemning, accusing Jesus. You've been slow to get here, bud. If you'd been here, my brother had not died. I don't think it's accusatory. I think Mary, in spite of Lazarus dying, is still expressing a faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus, I know that when you pray, the answer always comes. Amen. Verse 22, she says, but I know that even now, Whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Again, I think people get this wrong. People say she's hinting at Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. No, sir. Because in just the next few verses, we're going to see that Martha did not understand that Jesus was there to raise Lazarus from the dead. So she's not saying that even now, I'm believing though he's died, you're going to raise him from the dead. I believe she's making an expression that we need to make sometimes. She said, I believed that you could ask God and the prayer would be answered. It would be done. And you didn't come. And my brother died. But even now he's dead. I haven't changed what I believe about you. I still believe. Hey, I still believe you say it and it happens. God, give us faith like that. Amen. We pray they may die. Amen. We pray and the walls come tumbling down. We pray and we get a bad report. But oh, for a faith that says, even now, even when I didn't get the answer I was looking for, even when I didn't get the outcome I was looking for, even now, I still believe that whatever you ask the Father, he's going to do it. Amen. What about if three Hebrew children? We're not bowing. We believe our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're still not bowing. We're still going to believe. Even him. Oh, somebody say glory. Verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, I said, the master's coming to show who he is. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, that's faith, but look what she's done. She's pushed the answer into eternity. She's saying, well, it's not going to happen now. We'll probably never see it. God's not going to move in our time. We'll never have another revival. And she pushes it. She didn't lose her faith, but she just pushes it into eternity. In the last day, he will rise again. Amen. Do you know sometimes we resign ourselves into thinking that we can't expect anything until the last day, the eternal day. We haven't lost our hope in heaven. We still believe in heaven every sickness will be healed. We still believe in heaven God will ever make every wrong right. But we get so we push everything on to it's going to happen in heaven. I want you to know Jesus is going to teach an important lesson. We don't have to wait to heaven for every miracle to take place. We don't have to wait till heaven for every solution to come. We don't have to wait till heaven for every deliverance. I know some of them we'll have to wait for, but not everyone. There are some deliverances right here, right now. There's some healings right here, right now. There's some miracles right here. Martha, you don't have to wait till the last day. I'm going to do it today. We're waiting on the last day. And Jesus is saying, today, I want to do it today. Verse 25, Jesus says, here's why you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till you get to the resurrection, because the resurrection has come to you. You know what he said? Read it with me. Jesus said, you don't have to wait till the resurrection last day, because the resurrection has come to you. Amen. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. He said, I am the resurrection. The resurrection isn't a day in eternity. The resurrection is a person. I've come to show you who I am. I am the resurrection. I am the life. There's going to be a resurrection because I give life. And because I give life, there's going to be a resurrection. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, though things have got as bad as they can get, though everything is crumbled, though your world's come apart, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh, do you believe he's the resurrection? Do you believe he's the life? This is one of those great declarations that we've encountered all through John. The I am. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the door. I am the shepherd. And now Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. With this statement, he does something so very important we got to get our heads wrapped around. He ties the resurrection. He ties eternal life not to an event, not to a power,
not to a religion, but he ties resurrection and life to a person, to himself. He doesn't say, I'm going to resurrect. He said, I am the resurrection. You may be lost this morning. His word to you isn't, I'm going to save you. His word to you is, I am salvation. I am deliverance. I am healing. If that's true, it's not about a certain day. It's not about a nebulous power. It's not about a certain affinity to religion and jumping through this hoop and that hoop. It's about an encounter with the person, Jesus Christ. Amen. How can you say amen? That's what we need this morning. We need an encounter with him. It's in him. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why the apostle said, the life is in Jesus. Eternal life is in a person. Listen to what Jesus said. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. How does that happen? Because if you really encounter Jesus, he gives you eternal life. And that body may die, but you live on. How many still believes absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? You don't start living eternal life at the rapture or at the resurrection. You start living eternal life on that day you're born again. On that day you know Christ the Savior. Right then, whether it's at an altar or at home, when you trust Christ as Savior, you are born again with eternal life. And if you die with that eternal life in you, you live on. I'm not talking Ponce de Leon things. I'm talking about true things, right things. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. What Jesus is saying is so important. And I'll move quickly to a close in just a few moments. But listen to me. All at the beginning of the story, Jesus was telling his disciples, he didn't hurry to Lazarus' tomb. He was saying, not now, later. Not now. Have you ever heard the Lord kind of tell you that? Not now, later. But when he got there talking to Mary, the message had changed. All those 2 days, those 4 days, he'd been saying, not now, later. But when he gets to Martha, he says, not later, today. You might have been hearing not now, later for a long time. But you might just hear this morning, Sister Mary, not later, today. I am the resurrection. I am the life. It's tied up in who I am. Hallelujah. Verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me should never die. Believest thou this? Liveth. Not biological life, but whosoever has the life of Christ shall never die. Even I started preaching this morning. If I started preaching, you'll never die. You mean people say that's a cult, but Jesus said it. He said, you'll never die. He never said this body would quit breathing. Because it won't quit breathing, because it will. He never said this body won't ever lie in a grave, because it might. But he said, he that liveth, not biological life, but he that's spiritually alive, if he believes in me, he's never going to die. I live on. I said, I live on. I live on. How about you? Can you say it this morning? I live on. What are you going to do a million years from now? We'll be shouting victory as before the Lord we bow. Because he's the resurrection. He's alive. I must move on. Mary and Martha, the master is coming so that you might believe. Look at the verse we just read. Jesus is trying to encourage Martha's belief, and he says, believest thou this? You see, at the very beginning, Jesus tells us this is what Lazarus dying and being resurrected is all about. Not just so folks can go, wow, look what Jesus did. But so that they might learn to believe and trust in Jesus. However bad things get. As far as on this side of eternity, is anything worse than death? Or more irreversible than death? Well, Jesus can raise someone from the dead. He is saying, if I can do this, you can believe me for anything. You can trust me for anything. Amen. Amen. I'm not making fun of this. I'm human too. I know how that goes. Amen. You have a flat tire and you stand on the side of the road. What in the world am I going to do? The world's come to an end. And over here, Jesus saying, I raised Lazarus from the dead. And you're worried about a flat tire. You're seen as an impossibility. No, Jesus is saying, I'm raising Lazarus from the dead so you can believe me for that and everything else that comes before that. Amen. Verse 15, at the beginning, Jesus said to the disciples, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. That's why Jesus had not come immediately. Listen, it's this simple. Had Jesus come earlier, he only would have healed a sick Lazarus, but because he waited when he got there, he raised a dead one. Thank God that he can heal, but there's a big difference between healing a sick Lazarus and raising a dead Lazarus. Glory to God. I can't tell you why he waits as long as he does, but I want you to know he wants to work in such a way that when it's all said and done, you can say, I believe you, I believe you, I can believe you for anything. I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. That's why the master is coming. Verse 27. Martha saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she so said, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The master is come and called for thee. Martha sensed something's about to happen from the words of Christ. She doesn't quite get it yet, but she senses Jesus is here and something's about to happen. I don't want Mary to miss out. By the way, this is incidental. But that's the way a church grows. It's when folks at a church begin to sense that God wants to move and he's about to move, and they start getting hold of other folks and saying, I can tell God's about to do something. I've got to go get Mary. I want Mary in on this. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Next of all, Mary, Martha, the master is coming to raise your dead back to life. Look, verse 29. And Mary, as soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. You know, sometimes folks get real smart, and I've heard this explained. Jesus didn't go all the way into town because he wanted a private meeting with Mary and Martha. Well, if that had been his plans, it didn't work out, because look at verse 31. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted Mary, when they saw her that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. And so here's this explanation. Jesus doesn't go to their house. He stays on the outskirts of town. He waits till Mary and Martha gets to him so he can have a private moment with them in their grief. I don't believe that at all from what follows. Jesus didn't go yet into town and into their house because he had another destination. He was going to go first to Lazarus' tomb. Amen. Because he had come not just to assuage their grief. He had come not just to help them in their home and encourage. He had come for the purpose of raising Lazarus from the dead. I'm not sure why you came to church this morning, but let me tell you what God has in mind. Something's died on the inside. Maybe a dream, maybe a hope, maybe a vision, maybe your heart. There's some death going on. Could I tell you why he's come? He has come to raise your dead back to life. Glory to God. That's why he has come. Amen. He's going to go to the tomb first. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Amen. Amen. Exactly. Exactly. If he had been there, Lazarus wouldn't have died, but neither would Jesus have raised him from the dead. But Mary had forgotten something. As well as she knew the Lord, she was thinking the Lord had to be right there to heal Lazarus, and had forgotten that the Lord had healed the centurion's servant without ever going to his town, without ever going to his house. Amen. I would like a vision of Christ. I would like Christ to do some great manifestation. But I want you to know he can perfectly do what needs to be done, even though it seems that he's a million miles away at the Father's right hand. He never walked to that centurion's house, but that centurion's servant got up. Amen. Mary, you've forgotten something. You've limited to the Lord to a special way and a place of moving. Verse 33. Listen, now things really get intense. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. One of the most misinterpreted verses in the gospel. This is interpreted that Jesus saw everybody crying. He was so sympathetic and so hurt, he began to groan and weep and was so upset and was grieving so hard when he saw all that. And there's a little bit in that. He cared that Mary and Martha's hearts were hurting. He cared for the group. But never forget, why would Jesus be grieving with them when he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead? Right? That's not what it means when it says that he groaned in the spirit and he was troubled. I'm not trying to bore you, but we got to get the right sense of this. Did you know the word groan literally means to snore? Like a horse would snore. It's an upset. Trouble just doesn't mean grieving and upset. Did you know the word trouble actually means angry? We've got to ask ourselves something. Mary and Martha's weeping, the Jews weeping, and Jesus is snorting. He's angry. Why do you think that was? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus is angry at Satan. And he's angry at sin. And he's angry at death that comes from sin. And he's angry at the way sicknesses come. That's not the way he created it. He designed it. Listen, please understand, I'm not claiming I'm like Jesus in any way. But as a pastor, I have experienced this. And no doubt as a saint of God, you have too. But I have felt myself, Sister Karen, walking into a hospital with the news that somebody else had cancer. And it made me angry. Not again, not somebody else sick. I get the report that someone else, another saint of God, has died. And I get angry at death. Even I watch sin come in and get a hold of a young person's life, pull them out of church, away from Christ, and destroy them and ruin their life. And I get angry. Amen. I watch a marriage torn apart, a family destroyed. I get angry. Jesus was angry at sin and death and darkness and all that comes with it. He's exasperated. Something's going to happen. Now Jesus is angry. He's snorting. He's sighing. Verse 36. The Jews misunderstood that. Wait, I skipped too far. Please forgive me. Move back up. Verse 34. And he said, where have you laid him? See, if he was just concerned about Mary and Martha, he would have went to them and comforted them. That's not what it means by troubled and groaning. No, he's groaning and he's troubled. He didn't turn to Mary and Martha. He said, where do you lay him? There's a battle about to take place. Really no contest, but it's a battle about to take place. Where'd you lay him? Snorting like a horse going to battle. Where'd you lay him? Show me where the tomb is. That's what I've come for. Amen. And they said, he said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Oh, hallelujah. They at least point out where Lazarus is buried. I want to ask you this morning, if you got something dead in your life, are you willing to point it out to the Lord this morning and say, right there's the death in my life. Right there's where I need you to work, Jesus. Right there's where I need some eternal life. Right there's where I need the power of the resurrection at work in my mind, in my heart, in my family, in my marriage. Are you willing to point out the death? They said, Lord, come and see. We'll show you where the tomb is. I'm telling you, he has come to raise your dead to life. You can at least point out the tomb to him. You can at least show him where the death is. Verse 35, as a very young child, you learn that this is the shortest verse in the Bible. John 11:35, Jesus wept. You can memorize that and say, I memorized the whole verse in 2 seconds. Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? I think, again, we misunderstand. Again, I think there's a mixture of emotion. He wept. because of the loss of his friend Lazarus. He wept at Mary and Martha's grief. He wept, though, for something else. I believe he was weeping over sin, death, Satan, darkness, and what they do to his specially loved creation, humanity. I've got to move on, I know. But I want to tell you something. We ought to find ourselves weeping when we look at our world and see what Satan and sin and darkness and death is doing to humanity. He wept. Amen. He wept over something else. The hardness of people's heart not to believe. The Jews weren't believing. People all around weren't believing. He'd already worked so many miracles, said so many powerful things, Brother Cruz, and still their hearts were hard. And Jesus is weeping. You see, even there that day, they misunderstood. Verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. That was true, but it was more than that. And some of them said, could not this man which have opened the eyes of the blind have caused that this man should not have died? Do you see right here? He's still stirring up controversy. Some of the Jews that came said, oh, look how he loves him. And others said, no, he didn't love him. If he loved him, he'd been here and he'd healed him. He could open the eyes of the blind. He could have come here and healed him. He didn't want to. He just didn't do it. And right now, even at the tomb, there's a controversy over Jesus. There's always going to be controversy over Jesus. Just make sure you're on the right side of the controversy. Amen. Oh, I wish I had time for that. I don't. Verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself. The word is snorting. He cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. Something like a sigh. You ever been around someone always sigh? Jesus was groaning, amen, as a human, exasperated at the lack of trust and belief in him. Verse 39, Jesus then said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead for 4 days. Can you think of anything more audacious than this? That Jesus would say of someone buried 4 days, open that tomb up. That'd be like me saying, come on, folks, we're going to the grave, Bear Creek down here. Amen. And we're going to take a backhoe and we're going to uncover that thing. And we're going to, I mean, that's audacious. That's really bold. That's really going out on the limb. Unless you know two things. You are fully intending and fully capable of raising the dead. It's not audacious for Jesus because it's no contest. He doesn't have to worry about failure because he's the resurrection. He doesn't have to worry about it not happening because he's brought it to the tomb. Hallelujah. Take you away. Oh, it stinketh. I know there's some things to stink that stink if they're uncovered. But the best thing you can do in the presence of God is uncover it so that he can get in and work the way he works. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Take the lid off that tomb. Amen. He's going to resurrect Lazarus from the dead. And then Mary and Martha, this is the main thing. The master is coming so you can see God's glory. In verse 4, when Jesus heard that he was dead, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. Verse 40, Jesus said unto her, she said, he stinks. Jesus said unto Martha, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. I'm going to tell you, we need to see the glory of God. I could take all day to try to explain the glory of God, but let me just simply say the glory of God is his presence evident in such a way that we sense a power that God does the impossible. I said the glory of God is his presence in such a way that we sense that he has the power to do the impossible. Have you quit coming to church looking for the glory of God? I want to see his presence here in such a way that we know his power is able to do the impossible. You got to believe this, Martha. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. I could quit now, but we'd have to leave Lazarus in the tomb. We got to get him up today. Amen. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Please, you grammarians, notice the tense. Thou hast heard me. Amen. I want you to know, first of all, it's respectful. We've learned that through the centuries to close our eyes and pray. But Jesus didn't close his eyes to pray. He kept them open and he looked up to heaven. Amen. I'm not faulting closing your eyes to pray. It's a way to focus. Amen. But your answer isn't on the back of your eyelids. The answer is in heaven. He looked up to heaven and he said, Father, aren't you glad we have that relationship too? We can pray, Father. But he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast, past tense, heard me. You know what that tells me, Brother Vint? He's not waiting until he gets to Lazarus' tomb to do his praying. He's already prayed about this. He already knows what the Father wants. He already knows what the Father wants to do. He's been spending time to prayer in prayer, and he comes there knowing the Father's will. Let me tell you something. If you've been talking to the Father about it, then you can talk to your problem. Then you can talk to that grave. Don't try talking to that grave. Don't try talking to that problem unless you've been talking to the Father. But if you've been talking to the Father, you can talk to your problem too. You can talk to your grave too. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I think that if you're a believer, you ought to join him right now and lift your hands and say, Father, I thank you that you hear me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus went on. He said, Father, I thank you that you hear me always. You hear me every time that I pray. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. He said, I know you hear me always, but because of the people that stand by, I said it that they might believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he said, Lazarus! Talk to the Father. Now he's talking to the problem. Lazarus! Somebody said, why did he have to say Lazarus? Because I've been there. And all, Sister Norma, all along the roads and every hillside, there's one tomb after the other, hollowed out in those limestone cliffs with a lid over it. And if Jesus hadn't specified Lazarus, every dead person on that hillside would have come alive. But there's a problem. Only one tomb was open. They wouldn't even known about the others raised to life because they'd be behind the stones. They just died again. Only one tomb's open. So you specify, Lazarus, come forth. Don't you think there was some staring into that gaping mouth of that tomb? People looking at that, they've never heard it. I guarantee you there wasn't a sound one. No one was on their cell phone. Amen. No one was clipping their fingernails. Hallelujah. Nobody went to the restroom. Amen. They were all looking. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. What's going to happen? I'm not trying to be harsh, but we need to believe God enough that we get to the house of God. And we've got the same kind of attitude. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? God's talking. God's speaking. God's moving. What's he going to do? Lazarus, come forth. Amen. What happened? Verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. I want you to note that everything happened at Jesus' word. Why? Because he was the word that was God that was made flesh. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus awakened from the dead. Why did he yell? Not just so he could be heard in the tomb, but he yelled so he could be heard across the chasm of time into eternity. Jesus' voice went clear to the other side. I'm going to tell you, if Jesus was here, if his voice could reach from here to the other side, tonight. Could you believe that his voice, now that he's on the other side, his voice can reach from the other side here too. At his word, Lazarus came alive. But Jesus didn't leave him in the grave clothes. He said, loose him. Wrapped up, loose him, and let him go. Brother, when you get saved, Jesus not only forgives your past sins, the guilt, the condemnation, the death of your past sins, he not only does that, he not only makes you a new creature, alive with spiritual life, he will loose you from the things that have bound you, the things that held you down, the things that destroy. Aren't you glad he'll not only give you eternal life, he'll loose you too. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. I said, at his word. His word isn't just come alive. His word is be free, be set free, let the bondage be taken off. Oh, come on, let's have church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, the glory of God is what they saw. Nobody else could have done that. Nobody else, no illusionists, no tricksters. What those people saw was the glory of God. How many believes we can still see the glory of God through the moving of the Holy Spirit? Come, music. The last verses I will not cover. I just want to tell you that there's one more reason the Master is come, Mary and Martha, to get himself killed. I said he did it close to Jerusalem. He knew in God's plan, Brother Bill, that raising Lazarus from the death was in the minds of the Jewish leaders who conspired against him. That was the final straw. Those Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them. But the Bible says that though some believed, others, like tattletales, ran not with good news. What they saw as good news, they ran to the Jewish leaders and said, he just raised a man from the dead. And to all those atheists and agnostics and skeptics, you've got to understand something. Even Jesus' greatest enemies could never doubt the evidence of his miracles. They didn't even try to doubt that Jesus had in fact raised somebody from the dead. I'll only read one verse from those remaining verses. Verse 53, then from that day forth they took counsel together to put him to death. He raised somebody from the dead, and they're going to say, they said, we're going to kill you for it. But Jesus knew that when he went to Bethany. So very simply, Mary and Martha, Jesus came to raise Lazarus from the dead to get himself killed. Why? Because in getting himself killed, he got us eternal life. Would you stand across the building? I don't know what the dead in your life is. All I know is that Jesus will come and give you life. How many believes that this morning? I haven't preached with anybody in mind or anything in mind. I just know there's some folks with some tombs in your heart. Point it out to him. Say, Lord, I'm sick of this death in my life. It's death to my mind. It's death to my heart. It's death to my relationship with God. We just had a funeral yesterday, and none of the family is here. If you were here, you heard me say it, that Wilder Redmond's last cognitive words was Jesus. Right? Lazarus is sick. Fever is raging, but being a believer, I believe perhaps very realistically, Brother Vint, that waiting for Jesus to come, the last thing Lazarus said was Jesus. The last thing he said on this side was Jesus. But guess what? The next thing Lazarus heard, Lazarus. I'm convinced this morning, if you're serious about help from God, Even if death separates you, the death of sin, the death of trespasses, even if death separates you from him, if you in sincerity will call out Jesus, you will hear him call out your name. Mary, the Master is come and calleth for you. How many believes the Master has come and called? Let's pray. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning, you hear the Master calling, would you come to these steps we use as an altar? There is a death of sin. There is a death of our hearts. If you'll call out to him, he'll give you life like you've never known, abundant life, the fullness of life. Hallelujah. Are you here? Are you here this morning? Is he calling your name? Hallelujah. I'm going to invite the church to come and begin to pray. Amen. If you're here, separated by the death of sin, the wages of sin is death, but you hear him calling your name, would you come and join us? Amen. Someone will be here to pray with you. Amen. You that are coming, talk to the Father and then talk to your problem this morning. Would you do that? That's right. That's right. Church, come and talk to the Father as Jesus did. And then talk to that problem. Talk to that death. Talk to that tomb. Talk to that Lazarus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you here? You need Jesus. Oh, he's the mighty Savior. It's nothing in religion. Amen. It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you love him in these altars, church? It's in Jesus. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Point out the tomb to him. Lord, right here. Right here, Lord. I need life right here. I need help right here. I need deliverance right here. He's greater. Bigger. Is he calling your name? The Master has come. Oh, he's greater.
He's greater than.
Oh, the Master has come. The Master's come. Let him help you this morning. Trust him and believe he can do anything. Oh, he's greater. Would you see the glory of God this morning in your own life? Would you see the glory of God in your life? Come on, let's cry out to him, church. Talk to the Father. Then let him talk. Help you talk to that problem. Think about his grace. Think about his grace. Oh, yeah. Oh, he loves you, Mary. He loves you, Martha. He loves you, Lazarus. The Master has come. He loves you.
Make it again, just keep going and don't look.